Good to see everyone back after the summer. Hard to believe that what we consider to be summer here is over, heading into the fall season. Although I have to admit, I'm kind of glad to feel a little bit cooler weather. Where Ruth and I were last weekend at this time, they were recording temperatures of 34, and they told us it was feeling like 43. And that was just too hot. So it's good to be back into Northern Ontario and things cool down a little bit. Now, for the next little while, I think until the end of January, the topic that we have decided to cover here at Bethel on Sunday evenings is the topic of doors, of all things. And we're not going to teach you how to hang a door or, you know, what to do if you have a squeaky door. But we're going to be looking at various doors in the Bible. And so just to give you an idea of where we're going, here's a list of the doors we're going to be looking at. I'm going to be speaking tonight on the door of Noah's Ark. And then you can see that there's the Passover door. We're going to talk about the doors of the temple, the door and the walls that Nehemiah repaired. There's the sheep door, the sheep, the narrow door. You can read them all there for yourself. But if you take that and add on things like the cantata and the Sunday school program and the holiday weekends, then that will take us up until the end of January. So hopefully it'll be interesting. The reason we started this topic actually was Marion and Phil and their family were down to visit the Ark Encounter. I'm not sure if anyone else has been there. So there's some people, and I'm hoping to go. In fact, I think it'd be kind of a neat idea if we could arrange a bus from Bethel. And we did a trip down to Kentucky. We could wait until it gets a little bit cooler here, and then go down to Kentucky and visit the Ark Encounter. So, Bill, maybe that's something you could look after. So, that's called passing the buck, you're right. But it would be a fun thing to do. So, tonight then, what we're going to see is what we can learn from the door that was on the Ark. Now, we're going to be reading in Genesis, and chapter 6, verses 11 to 18. Chapter 7, I want to read verse 1 and verse 7, and then verses 11 to 16. Because for sake of time, we can't read the entire story. But first of all, we'll begin reading in Genesis chapter 6, verse 11 to 18. And we're going to be especially interested in that part of the ark there, which is the door. And by the way, that first picture that I had on there, which was that one there, is actually a picture of the ark that was built or is built and is now in Kentucky. So let's turn then to Genesis chapter 6, and we'll read verses 11 to 18. Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked down on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. Just stop there for a second. It just hit me now that it would seem like we're reading modern day news. It's a pretty good description, really, of how the earth is today. And it's interesting that the scriptures say that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And so I believe that the earth as we see it now and the conditions of the earth and the corruptness that are in the earth would tell us that the Lord is coming, which is good news. Then God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them, and behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth." Make for yourselves an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms and shall cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you shall make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits. The breadth, 50 cubits. And the height is 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark and finish it to a cubit from the top and set the door of the ark in the side of it. You shall come and you shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I am bringing the flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh which is in the breadth of the earth. From under heaven, everything that is on earth shall perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. And again, I would just like to mention with respect to that verse, covenants are very important in scriptures, in the scriptures. And this is actually the first mention of the word covenant. The first covenant that God made with man was actually made with Noah and his family. And a covenant basically is a promise that God makes to individuals. And we're living under what's called the new covenant, which involves the Lord Jesus. Now, if we go down to the next chapter, it says, "Then the Lord said to Noah, enter the ark, you and all your household, for you alone I have seen to be righteous before me in this time." And then if we go down to verse 7, it says, "Then Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him entered the ark because of the water of the flood. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on the same day, all the fountains of the deep, great deep burst open, and the floodgates of the sky were open. The rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them, entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, all sorts of birds. So they went into the ark to Noah by twos of all flesh in which was the breath of life. Those that entered, male and female of all flesh, entered as God had commanded him. And the Lord closed, that is, the door behind him." So the Lord bless the reading of this account of what actually has taken place many years ago. You know, there are people that this is just a figment of somebody's imagination. It's just a fairy tale or somebody came up with it. But we don't believe that at all. We believe that this was a literal event that took place in the time of Noah. And so Noah was given a tremendous task, and he was to build an ark, and a tremendous building that he had to do, something that had never been done before. And you notice that in the scriptures we read that God gave him the dimensions. He said it was to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Now, the problem is that it's difficult for you and I to know exactly what that length is. In fact, we can't. Because a cubit is the measure, if you just put your arm out and you feel from your elbow up to the tip of your fingers, that's the length of a cubit. Now, that's why we can't tell exactly how long the ark was. Because if you're measuring from my elbow up to the tip of my fingers, I have a grand total of 18 inches. But if you took my son, Phil Marshall, and you were to have him put his arm out, and you were to measure from his elbow up to the tip of his fingers, it would be more like 26 inches. Right? He's very long in the arms. Maybe that's an exaggeration, but he is very long. And so if you take a cubit to be Phil, then you're going to get a different measurement than if you take it to be me. But since I'm the one speaking, then we will go with the 18 inches. And so when it comes to a cubit, then it's 18 inches, or for those who are in school now, that's approximately 45.7 centimeters. I thought I'd do a little math here tonight, especially for Bill. He told us this morning that he never learned math. He wasn't good in math in school, and so I thought, well, we'll give him a little lesson even tonight. And so there's the first piece of information, Bill. A cubit is 18 inches, 45.7 centimeters. Now, that means then that the length of the ark is about 450 feet, if you do the calculation, or 137 meters. Its width is about 75 feet. So, I mean, this was a massive structure that Noah was asked to build. The height is 45 feet, or around pretty close to 14 meters or 13 and a half meters. That was the height of it. And that's using my arm as the cubit. Now, if you take those and you multiply the length times the width times the height, then you get the volume. And the volume then, I mean, look at the volume of that structure in cubic feet. And then you can change it to cubic yards, which is 56,250, or cubic meters. For those that need that, there it is. Huge structure. And just to give you another little idea, if you take the size of a standard train car, you know, like the box car on a train, the one you see going by all the time, most of them are painted a dull brown. You see them rattling by when you're sitting there wishing they'd hurry up so that you could get through. Well, you would need 290 of those all stacked together in order to get the size of the ark. And so that's just to give you a little bit of the size. And so this is the structure that Noah had to build. And you know, the one interesting thing that I want to really point out is that that ark only had one door. Now, just think of that. I mean, think of how many doors we have in Bethel. There's so many different ways to come in. You know, you can come in over there, you can come in over there. There's a couple of doors going into the sanctuary. There's so many different ways to come in. And Bethel is just, like, it's like a room in the ark. Just a little room. But for the ark, with all of its size, God saw to it that there was only one way in. And that's significant. Because you see, the ark in the Old Testament is a picture of the Lord Jesus in the New Testament. And it's important, we'll be coming back to it, that there was only one way in. Now, this is basically, we just got a few minutes, so these are the things that I would like to talk about then with respect to the ark. And then I want to relate it to present day and how it relates to salvation, how it relates to the Lord Jesus. But the first one then is that the door on the ark, there was only that one door. And of course, when it comes to salvation, then that one's easy, isn't it? God has only provided one way of salvation. There's only one way to get to heaven. I remember when I used to sing with the children in Sunday school, and one of the choruses said this: one way there is to get to heaven, Jesus is the only way. You know, man would have all his different ways. They would have different doors, and they would have all kinds of doors, just like we have coming into this building. But when it comes to heaven, when it comes to God's great salvation, there is only one way. Sometimes we get accused of being rather exclusive. How can you say there's only one way? There's several ways. Well, it's not us that says that there's only one way, but we believe there's only one way because the Bible tells us. Neither is there salvation in any other, For there is no other name given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And the Lord Jesus himself could say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And so I'm so thankful that as a boy I was told and I was taught that there was only one way of salvation. And I was told faithfully that Jesus is the only way. And if there's someone here tonight and you've never accepted Christ as Savior, if you've never found that way of salvation, then I'm delighted tonight to be able to tell you about it. In fact, I can tell you there's nothing I would rather do when I'm speaking than preach the gospel. And so when I saw that I had the door to the ark, I thought, well, hallelujah, this is it. And so when it comes to the gospel, there is only one door. And then you notice the next thing with the ark is that the ark was designed by God. And that tells us about salvation as well. The way to get to heaven is not something that man made up. It is something that God designed before the beginning of time. God decided, if I could get a drink of water, Andrew, I'll get me a drink there. Throat's going on me. But if I, when God looked down from heaven, and even before the earth was made, he designed salvation. He wanted to have a people who would worship him freely, a people that would love him because they loved him with all their heart. And so he decided that he would provide a way. Thanks, Darren. He would provide a way in which mankind who had fallen in sin could have their sins forgiven and that they could have fellowship with God. And so just as the ark was designed by God, the one way of salvation, which is through faith in Christ, was designed by God. And you know, with the next one, I thought, well, this is an interesting one. If you're wanting to relate it to salvation. Because salvation, of course, I think everyone in here would agree, is there's only one way. Everyone would agree that it was designed by God. Well, what about the next one? The ark was constructed by Noah and his family. So can we relate that? Because here we have Noah doing the job. So can we relate that to salvation? And I believe we can. Because when it comes to God's salvation, he made it one way. He designed it. But he gave us, just like he gave Noah, a responsibility and a job to do. Then you and I as believers, we have been given a responsibility, a job to do, and that is to proclaim the message of the gospel. Jesus, before he went back to earth, he told them to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. And so if mankind is going to hear the good news of salvation, then just like Noah had to take the hammer and build the ark and spend all those years building something that people ridiculed him for, then it's our responsibility to take the message of salvation and to tell it to others. You know, sometimes I'm ashamed of myself. You know, sometimes when I think of how little at times I tell others about the way of salvation. You know, after I had been sick a few years ago there, and I went down to, I had a trip to Pennsylvania, and I was in the home of an Amish family. They actually have a little business there where you can go to their home and you eat with the family, and you have an Amish prepared meal. And so we've done that a couple of times. And you know, I'd just been sick. It was the November before, and so, you know, it was on my mind, and it seemed like everybody I met, I would tell them, you know, what had happened. I would describe it to them. It was like therapy for me to tell them how close I had been to death, and then God rescued me and restored me back to health. Like, I don't understand it, but God did it. You know, the Amish looked, and I apologized for telling him. He says to me, we always want to tell the good things that God has done for us. I thought, that guy's got it right. Then why is it that the greatest thing that God has done for any one of us, and yet at times we're so slow to tell other people about it? And yet it's the greatest, far greater than me being brought back from a coma. Far better than that. You know, I shouldn't stay on this, but it often comes to my mind, and I have to believe everything other people tell me because I don't remember it at all. And so the family tells me that as I was coming out of the coma, and of course I asked all kinds of questions, and I keep asking the same ones over and over and over again. It was like I wasn't listening. They had to keep telling me. And finally, it kind of dawned on me. You know, I looked at the family gathered around. This is what I said to them. It just goes to show you need to be ready. And so they kind of got a kick out. They said, look at that. Just coming out of a coma and he's preaching already. But you know, it's so important. And that's the message that we've got. It's the only message of hope for this fallen world. It's the message of God's salvation through faith in Christ. And so may God help each one of us be faithful in declaring that message as Noah was faithful in building the ark. And it's interesting as well. And the time's almost gone here, but when it comes to the ark, of course there was two sides. You could be inside or outside. And inside the ark, you had God's protection. But those who didn't go into the ark, who stayed on the outside, they didn't have God's protection. Instead, they had to face the wrath and the judgment of an angry God. And I thought that too, it relates to salvation so well. For those of us who know Christ as Savior and we're in Christ and we experience God's protection and we experience God's favor and he's so good to us, and we never have to worry about losing what we have once in Christ forever. But there are thousands of people living even here in Sault Ste. Marie, and they know nothing, absolutely practically nothing, about this great salvation. And so they're not in the ark. They're on the outside. And if they're on the outside, then they're in danger of having to go under the judgment and the wrath of God. And we know that it's coming. Just as it did in the days of the ark, you notice that it was God who shut the door. So in those days, Noah, who was a preacher of righteousness, it doesn't tell us what he said, but perhaps he was warning the people, and he was telling them, judgment is coming, flee from the wrath to come. And they didn't listen. There was only 8 people in that ark. We don't know how many people lived on the earth at that time, but there were many, many people. And out of that huge multitude of people, only 8 people were on the inside. The majority were on the outside. And after a certain time had passed, God shut the door. And once that door was shut, then the judgment was poured out upon this world. It says that the fountains beneath the earth broke open. Water rushed up. The water came down from heaven, and we believe that the earth was covered with water, and God's judgment came upon this earth. And every living soul who was not inside the ark, the Bible tells us that they perished. And so you see, that's why I said to my family, why I'd like to say to you tonight, it's important to be ready. Because no one in here, absolutely no one, myself, Bill, anyone, Rod, none of us know the day when the door of salvation is going to be shut. But God has told us in His Word that the day is coming when the Lord Jesus, who provided salvation for us, is going to rise up, and the Father is going to say to Him, "It's time." And there's going to be a trumpet sound, and there's going to be an angel's voice, a voice of an archangel. And as soon as that happens, then those that we have loved, who have gone on before, it says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain, we are going to be caught up, and we're going to meet them in the air for a tremendous reunion. But you know, even though it's going to be so great to see those who have gone before, our eyes will turn to the Lamb. Our eyes will turn to the Lord Jesus, and we will look on His wonderful face. And with all the congregation, we will sing a new song, the song of redemption. But my friend, one day that's going to happen. Jesus is coming again. And when Jesus returns, it's going to be like what happened in the days of Noah. It's going to be the day of salvation. The day of opportunity will be over. God will shut the door. Are you ready? You know, the wonderful thing tonight is that God had made salvation so clear and so easy. It says if we confess our sin to Him, we repent and confess our sin, and we acknowledge the Lord Jesus as Lord, and we ask Him to be our Savior, we just simply turn to Him and put our trust in Him. You know, the one verse that brought me comfort as a boy was this one here, because there were times when I wondered if I was really saved. And God brought this verse to my mind, and I've rested on it ever since. Him that cometh to me, I will not cast out. And I came, and I believe it. And you came, and I know you believe it. He will never turn us away. And so, these are just some things that came to my mind as we looked at the ark and the door on the ark. And so, next weekend, I believe it's, Lord willing, it'll be Jared Horstman, I believe, who's going to be speaking to us, and he'll be talking about the Passover door. Right, Bill? So, the Passover door, which again, pretty easy to preach the gospel from the Passover door. So let's just close in prayer. Thanks for coming. Father, we thank You again for the Lord Jesus. We thank You for the message of the gospel. We thank You for the ark and all the lessons that we can learn from it. We thank You most of all for our Savior, the Lord Jesus, who is our ark. We're thankful for each one tonight who has found in Him a place of security, a place of protection. And we're thankful that we will never have to pay for the price of our own sin, because He paid the debt in full. And so we just commit ourselves to You, pray that You would take us home in safety, and we just give thanks for all good things. In Jesus' name, amen.